Good morning. If you could turn to the back page of your bulletin for the call to worship. We do not live by bread alone. Jesus said, "If anyone wants to follow me, praise the Lord." And now we have some singing.
You can take your blue hymnals out, number 483. 483, O God, who gives us life and breath. And we'll stand this morning to get our juices flowing.
Welcome here. Are there any guests that would like to be introduced? Well, we do have a guest speaker today. Ken Workentin is coming to share his message with us. And now my mom can come up and do the children's story. And the children, too.
Good morning. How are you guys today? Jalen and Rhea have already been chatting with me. Nice to see you, Astrid. Hi, Jacob. And another Jacob. Mama's sitting too. Okay, this morning we're going to be talking about something called a covenant. Does anyone know what a covenant is? A new covenant. It's kind of like a deal. Oops. He wants to make a new deal. Hey, Samuel. You okay? Good morning. So we're going to be talking about Jesus and God making a new covenant, a new deal, a new promise with us. Now, in the Bible, there were at least three promises. Who knows the first promise God made? Yeah. The rainbow. Is a rainbow close? Is a rainbow far away? Yes. Who knows about the second promise? Rhea. That's the third promise. We're almost there. The second promise is in the Old Testament. It has Moses in it, and he's going, yep. Nope. It's the 10 laws that God gave us. You know, don't kill people. Don't love your mom and dad. The rules for us to follow. That was a little closer. We could read them. But the third promise and Rhea has already said, it was Jesus coming. And is that far away like a rainbow? Is Jesus far away like a rainbow? He was here on earth though, right? So he was close enough for people to touch and see. So the promise is getting closer and closer, and the promise that we have now is written in our hearts. Now, before church, I asked Rhea and Jalen to think about rules. And what are some rules you don't like following? Yeah, Rhea. Don't run at school. That's not a fun rule. I agree. Is there any other rules you can think of that you don't really like? That's right. Rainbows come from sun and rain. You're right. What's a rule you don't like? Somebody doesn't like when people tell them to stop reading. That's right. So usually rules, when other people are telling us to do stuff, like at school when a teacher says don't run, or when your mom and dad say stop reading, those are not fun rules. The rules that we like to follow are usually the ones that kind of are ones that we make up, that are close to our hearts. So, for example, in the Ten Commandments, when it says love your mom and dad, is that a rule that's hard to keep? No, we love our moms and dads. It's written on our hearts. It's close to us. And these are the kinds of things that God and Jesus want us. Those are the rules that are easy to follow, the ones that are close to our hearts. So if we could bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for the new covenant you've made with us and that you have written your laws and love on our hearts. Amen. You guys can go back and sit with your families.
I'm going to ask you to take your blue hymnals again and turn to page 161. 161. This is a call and response song. Leanna's going to lead out, and we are going to respond, "For your love is never ending," to each phrase.
We give thanks unto you, O God of might, for your love is never ending. We give thanks unto you, the God of gods. From of old you have led your people in faith. You have shown your compassion, strength, and love. You delivered the ones who called unto you. From bondage to freedom you brought them forth. You have opened the sea and brought your people through. Brought them into a land that flows with life. Your promise age to age. You show mercy on those of low degree.
So we've got some announcements today. We would like to remember to keep Gary and Carol and their family in our prayers, as Pastor Gary has begun his chemo treatments this week. We'd also like to wish a happy anniversary to Vic and Betty Lowen. They celebrated 50 years together on the 16th. We wish them God's richest blessings as they continue down life's road together. And Frank and Wanda Neufeld send their heartfelt thanks to all who sent prayers thanks for God's love and care throughout our 70 years of life together. We appreciate the good wishes that came our way through handshakes, hugs, and the many cards of congratulation. Thanks to all who assisted in our celebration, and thanks for long-standing friendship and love. We'd also like to please pray for faith, strength, and courage and healing of those members of our congregation undergoing treatments and or recovering at home, which includes Peter Hirschfeld, Kim Hoban, and Hildy Weens. Keep the many physicians, surgeons, nurses, health professionals, and caregivers who support them in your prayers as well. May the Lord hold them all in the palm of his hand. And also, on July 24th, there will be a Sommerbosch lunch, it would be appreciated if there is anyone willing to help out with the preparation on the 23rd. That's a Saturday in the morning, and on Sunday morning, July 24th, for serving. Help would also be appreciated with serving cleanup afterwards, and if someone would like to donate some buns, rollkuchen, or dessert, you can contact Sarah Cowenhauen, and her contact information is in the bulletin. Does anyone have another announcement? Okay. Now, please bow your head for prayer. Oh, no, not right. Conference report, Tim.
Sean and Erica Weens, Stephanie and myself spent July 6th through 10th in Saskatoon attending Mennonite Church Canada's annual assembly. At this assembly, four motions were passed. The first was to repudiate the doctrine of discovery. Beginning in the 1400s, European monarchies and church leaders organized the worldview into a legal framework. European governments sponsored expeditions to new lands full of resources and opportunities, and the Christian church legitimized this expansion by declaring that the monarchies had a right to claim these lands and their resources in the name of Christ. Sovereignty and title belonged to the European monarchies by divine right. The church named all non-Christians as enemies of Christ, therefore subject to the domination of whichever Christian monarchy could claim and hold the land. The Truth and Reconciliation Committee the Truth and Reconciliation Commission recommends to all religious groups that we repudiate the doctrine of discovery, and at assembly we did so. Stating that the doctrine of discovery is fundamentally opposed to the kingdom of God, and as any good Mennonite does, we struck a committee to look at how we can further this discussion. Secondly, the Being a Faithful Church process has come to a close. Rather than choosing a specific side one way or the other in terms of the discussion of same-sex marriage, we've decided to, as a conference, we have agreed that we affirm the confession of faith, which is one man and one woman for life. We also recognize that some churches have a different understanding of marriage. And we are creating space for them to explore what that means, but at the same time creating a form of mutual conversation back and forth so we can be covenanted together and accountable to each other. This isn't a mandate that any congregation has to change their stance. Rather, it's an attempt to compromise so that all congregations can remain faithful to their interpretation of Scripture. That motion was passed, 23 abstained, 50 no, 277 yes. Thirdly, the Future Directions Task Force recommendations were passed. Over the next 2 years, a transition team and interim council will work towards restructuring Mennonite Church Canada so that a greater emphasis is on the area church, in our case Mennonite Church Manitoba, with the area churches partnering together on national agenda. This one also passed with a wide margin, 21 no, 318 yes. Steph and I are members of a group called Emerging Voices. We, along with the other members of Emerging Voices, were privileged in being able to lead a workshop at the assembly where we shared our laments for things that we are losing with this restructuring and hopes for the future of the church. As we go through these structural changes. The fourth decision was made as a resolution on Israel-Palestine, which commits the church to work for peace in our region, peace in the region, including forms of nonviolent resistance towards the ending of the Israeli occupation of Palestinian lands, such as divestment and boycotts of companies that profit from the illegal occupation. There's also an encouragement for more study tours and finding other ways of engaging with the Jewish and Palestinian peoples. The last thing I would like to say about this assembly is that we are blessed to be part of a larger body. Even though we might disagree with each other, the fact is that our faith in Jesus Christ unites us and enables us to work and worship together, and that's truly amazing. If you would like more information about the decisions made, in the back and on the pamphlet hanger, there's both the Last December News, which has a discussion, a wider discussion, and a shorter article in the Canadian Mennonite about the decisions that were made.
Now we have a roaming mic if someone has something they'd like to share. Okay, so now you can please bow your heads for the prayer of God's people. O God of our hearts, you yearn to be so close to us that we can know you in every breath, in every hope, in every relationship. Meet us here today and teach us to recognize the covenant of justice, peace, and love you have written on our hearts. So may our desires become your desires, our work become your work, and our community the place where you are sought and found. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And the ushers will be taking the offering right now.
Let God, who called the worlds to be, arise in all consuming fire to judge the people righteously and faithless ones with awe inspire. This God is us, and yet we break the covenant made long ago. God's words I foolishly forsake, God's ways we have refused to know. For though our lips have preached God's law, our erring hearts have scorned the name. We choose the thief and slanderer as friends, and so increase our shame. What then shall God the Lord demand? Not gifts or lavish offering, but vows and promises performed, and lives from which true praises spring.
I will be reading from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, and from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and remember their sin no more.
Good morning. It is really good to be here this morning. Last Sunday I was with Tim and Stephanie, and about 800 of your sisters and brothers from all across Canada worshiping in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And it was a marvelous worship service. It was the culmination of 5 days of rather intense debate and rather wonderful fellowship and rather inspiring worship. And I want to share a little bit this morning about the theme of the conference that was just held in Saskatoon, a theme of covenant. Because I think it was a very appropriate theme for our gathering in Saskatoon, where people from all across Canada gathered to discuss the very resolutions that Tim described this morning. And I want to say a little bit more about that a little later. But it's also very appropriate for you, for the North Kildonan Mennonite Church to consider covenant and God's covenant. God's covenant with each one of you individually that draws us together into a community. Our God calls us into a covenant relationship not only with our Creator, with God Himself, but also with each other. And you are part of this body, but you are part of a much larger body. And today I am very happy to represent Mennonite Church Manitoba. And as a voice that represents that church, that broader church that you are part of, I just want to remind you of who you are in this province. You are a community of 45 other congregations. Some of you will be old enough to remember the old days when we talked about congregations as clusters of churches. So we had the Schönwieser, and we had the Bergtaler, and we had the Ebenfeld, and we had the Rosenort, and we had the Whitewater. Those were all clusters of congregations. Today, many of them have come together to form Mennonite Church Manitoba. But we are also part of Mennonite Church Canada. Over 200 congregations worshiping from coast to coast, and we haven't yet quite figured out how to get to the top coast, but I'm working on that. I would love to see a church in Whitehorse, in Yellowknife, and in Old Crow, Yukon. I was just in Yukon visiting my daughter a couple of weeks ago. We need some Mennonites up there. Mennonite Church Manitoba, we do some programming. Programming that you were all part of. We do some leadership placement and development and call. And we work with churches and pastors in transition. We work with churches and pastors in conflict. And we work to establish the vision and direction of the broader church. To make sure that we all sort of retain our Anabaptist roots. And that we keep working at refining what those Anabaptist roots are, because they are not constant. They are always shifting. With every generation, we learn something new about what it means to be followers of Jesus in this context, in the context of our society today. We work a lot at youth leadership development and faith formation. We still operate 3 camps. Even though our camp ownership structure is changing, we still want to be faithful to the ministry that we've been called to. And we are offering literally hundreds of opportunities to children in our province to enter into a relationship with Jesus, to learn more about faith, to learn more about the Bible. And at the same time, we are offering opportunity for our youth, our young people, to stretch their leadership skills, to develop their faith in biblical understanding and in commitment to following Jesus. So every week, we create a Christian community for kids at our 3 camps. And in those beautiful settings, we ask those kids to participate as a faithful follower of Jesus. And the rest of the year, we also operate a hospitality ministry in our 3 camps. And although our 3 camps, our ownership structure will be changing, as I said, we want to maintain our connection to the broader community and offer these beautiful facilities for use. Mennonite Church Manitoba, we also try to help churches stretch their faith, grow in their understanding of God, grow in their understanding of biblical knowledge. So we encourage local missions, and we encourage church planting, and sometimes we coordinate special projects which reflect our common mission. We also do mission. And our mission, the model that we have followed in Mennonite Church Manitoba, I think is really quite brilliant. Because we don't send missionaries per se. Mennonite Church Manitoba doesn't do a lot of sending missionaries to another part of the world where we preach the gospel. What we do is we ask faith communities to connect with other communities. So right now, we're doing something called partnership ministry, partnership circles, where communities in the south, churches in the south, are actually going up north to places like Pungasi and Cross Lake and Matheson Island. And they're offering DVBS. And they're making connections community to community. And these connections are beginning to develop very vibrant and very beautiful relationships, all rooted in our Christian conviction that we want to be followers of Jesus and we want to share good news. We're also a singing people, And we still sponsor two very, very fine choirs, and I just heard today that we have a choir, we have an, at least an invitation for one of our choirs to visit the Ukraine again. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's very cool that the world is beginning to know about our choirs, and they're saying, we want to hear them. But that's not the only way we make music. One of the other very neat things that we do in music making is in our camping ministry. Every year, before camp starts, we have a workshop where we gather some of the youth and some of the music leaderships of our province together in a room, and we throw them together, we give them the theme, we give them the Bible passage, and we say, write a song. And they do. They write songs every year that we use in our camp curriculum. And by now we have a really substantial hymn book. Well, we don't have a hymn book yet, but we have a really substantial collection of hymns or songs in our repertoire that our kids have written. We're teaching our kids how to write music in praise of their God. In short, Mennonite Church Manitoba is the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ in many locations. And together, we strive to be faithful disciples, sharing good news of Jesus Christ. Part of Mennonite Church Canada as well. And that structure is also probably going to be changing in the next 2 years. But as part of Mennonite Church Canada, you are part of international missions. We have over 20 missionaries serving Christ all over the globe, and we are part of that. We share the conviction that together we are the body of Christ, joined in faith through Jesus, joined through faith in Jesus, pardon me, bound together to serve the will of God as a people. And it is our common faith which joins us together, but more than that, it is the covenant of God's own making that connects us to Him and then to one another. And that's the point of the scripture reading this morning. That was the theme of Mennonite Church Canada Assembly that we just finished. God has created a covenant with His people. Promised already in the Old Testament. Promised in the time of Jeremiah, who was a prophet, to what is called the remnant, who didn't get taken into exile. The people of God who were in Palestine, who did not get taken into exile by the Babylonians, they still needed to hear the word of God, and Jeremiah preached to them. And he said, there's a new covenant coming. Let me tell you a little story about what happened in Saskatoon. We got there, we all had assigned tables, I sat down at my table, and a few minutes later, Jack Sudeman sat down at my table. Now, does anybody here know who Jack Sudeman is? A couple of you know who Jack Sudeman is. He is... You'll probably know him as the former General Secretary of Mennonite Church Canada. He is the guy who used to head up Mennonite Church Canada. But I know him as a principal. When I was in high school, he was my principal. And he was a young man then. That tells you how old I am, because he's an old man now. In 1975, he was my principal in a little school in Saskatchewan called Rostron Junior College. It's a little Mennonite school that I went to for grades 11 and 12. And on choir tour, in 1976, Jack Suderman was our preacher. And he came along on our choir tour, and so I heard the same sermon every day for 11 nights running. And I heard it so frequently that I could memorize it. And so my buddy and I, we memorized it, and we would sort of chant along with him in the back row of the choir. And we thought we were hilarious. I had no idea how powerful and how much an impact that sermon, memorizing that sermon, would have on me. Because that sermon was about a different covenant. That sermon was about a covenant found in Genesis chapter 15, in which God makes a promise to Abram. And Jack began by saying that the Hebrew word for covenant is keret berift, which is not important to you to memorize or know. But the literal translation of that Hebrew word is interesting, because literally that means to cut a covenant. In our day, when we make a covenant, we often call it a legally binding document, or we call it a deal. Or we call it a contract. Or we call it a treaty. Those all sort of mean the same thing. And today, when we want to make it something legally binding, we put it in writing. And then we have all the parties that this document pertains to, sign it at the bottom of the page, and then we store that in a record somewhere, and now we are committed to behaving according to that covenant that we just made, that deal that we just made. Well, in ancient Israel, well, actually before it was Israel, in ancient Palestine, in ancient Canaan, they did things a little differently. They still had rituals where they didn't quite sign things. What they would do, and this is all described in the Bible, it's a very cool thing. Well, cool, I'm not sure if that's the right word. It's kind of gruesome. Because what they would do is they would gather a bunch of animals together, and they'd slaughter the animals, and they'd cut them in half. And then they'd put half of the animal here, and half of the animal there, and then they walk, the parties making the deal would walk down this little path surrounded by animal carcasses on either side. And when they get to the end of the path, then they'd sort of look at each other and nod and say, now we've made a deal. Now you can't break this deal that we just made. It might sound a little foreign to our modern ears. We don't do that anymore. But when you hear phrases like cut a deal, it actually probably comes from an ancient English understanding of that very notion. The biblical covenant is to cut a covenant. So that story is the story of one of God's covenants with his people. And that story, as I said, is found in Genesis chapter 15. But it describes this ancient ritual. And God asks Abram to gather a bunch of animals together and to follow this ancient ritual. So Abram gathers these animals together, and he slaughters them, and he cuts them in half. Now you have to remember that this is a long time ago. This is thousands of years ago, before we had Cutco knives. You had stones, and you had very crude implements to do this work. So this is hard work, to cut an animal in half. And it takes a long time. So Abram was doing all this work, cutting these animals in half, and there was a bunch of them, and then he'd lay them out very carefully, side by side, thinking that him and God were somehow going to make this covenant together. And then God does something very interesting. He causes a trance to fall upon Abram. So Abram is now immobile. He cannot move. And then God shows up in the form of a flaming pot. And God, by himself, goes down the middle of that little path. And at the end of it, he says, this is the deal we're going to make now, Abram. You're going to be my people, and I'm going to be your God. It was God's unconditional promise to his people. God went down that path alone, saying, this is not dependent on you and your participation. I'm telling you what I'm promising you. It's unconditional love. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people, and I'm going to be your God. I understand this to mean that God knew from the very beginning that the expectations on his people would be too great for them to bear and that they would fail. But God made a way for God to be responsible for the covenant right from the beginning. In God's grace, God was making a way for human beings to be in relationship with him right from the start. It was not dependent on what we did that kept us in relationship with God. It was God's goodness, God's grace that kept us in relationship with him. Now, this in no way eliminates the need for the people of God to strive to live in the will of God and to live according to the best 10 ways to live, which we talked about in the children's story. It's a beautiful children's story, by the way. Thank you. But it does indicate that God's first and most obvious trait is grace. So just to be clear, this covenant making it that God that God participates in Genesis 15, God says to Abram, here are the terms of the covenant, but I'm going to walk down the center through this pathway of death. I'm going to walk down here on your behalf. You don't have to walk through it, at least this time, because this time I want you to know that it is my grace that is sufficient for you. So every time I hear Psalm 23, that passage, "Lo, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they go with me," or they comfort me. I think of that sermon that Jack Sudeman preached in April 1976. It is grace that allows us to remain in relationship with God. We cannot earn our way into that relationship. It always was and always will be a gift from God. Isn't that incredible? Then we fast forward a couple of centuries to the time in which the people of God have been overcome by their enemies and they are taken into exile. And God speaks again through the prophet Jeremiah, and again he makes a promise of a new covenant. And Jeremiah is speaking to a people that I think we can understand. He is speaking to a group of people who have a memory of when their religious heritage shaped the world around them. They made the laws, and their laws were rooted in the Ten Commandments. They were proud of their religious legacy. But now, they don't control their own fate. They don't control the way their society looks or how it gets shaped. Their education curriculum is written by people who have very different values from themselves. So, I think you can understand their mindset. I think you can understand their anguish and their despair, because the Christian community in Canada used to be a very powerful voice. We used to be the shaper of our societies. We used to shape our culture in ways that reflected our values. But we don't have the same authority anymore. We used to be the conscience of our culture. Laws reflected Christian values. We said the Lord's Prayer in school. No one shopped on Sundays. And now we find ourselves in a place where no one seems to care what we have to say. Or perhaps even more dramatically, we find ourselves in a place where our belief systems are challenged and rejected. And we are blamed for the mistakes that we have made. And we are scrutinized for the lack of engagement in the troubles of this world. Now, Jeremiah's people understood that place very well. Jeremiah speaks into that space, and he speaks the word of God, and he speaks this amazing promise. "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant which I might add, which they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." This promise of a new covenant is fulfilled in the gift of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, in the last meal that he shared with his disciples, with his followers, he sat down after they finished eating, and he held up a piece of bread and he says, "This is my body which is broken for you." And he held up a cup of wine and he says, "This is the blood. This is my blood shed for you. The promise of a new covenant." There's a simple phrase that many of us were asked to consider as young children or young people. And the phrase is to invite Jesus into your heart. And there's a song that we used to sing. I used to sing as a child, "Come to my heart, Lord Jesus," which is, it's a beautiful song. I wish we would sing it more frequently. To me, that has taken on new meaning this year as I've contemplated and considered what it means to be a covenant people. What it means to embrace the new covenant that God promises. The covenant that will be written on our hearts. Jesus is that new covenant. And as followers of Jesus, we are joined together in this covenant. You were joined together in this body. You were joined together in Mennonite Church Manitoba and Canada. You were joined together with the Mennonite World Conference. And you are joined together in the universal church in which Jesus is our head. At the closing worship service of Mennonite Church Canada last week, Willard Metzger spoke. Willard Metzger is the new Jack Sudeman. He is the new executive director of Mennonite Church Canada. and in his sermon he said, "This has not been an easy assembly, and I am proud of you. We have had difficult conversations, but we have had them. We have not avoided them. Within the context of covenant, we have confronted our disagreements, because that's what covenant people do." The difficult conversations that he was referring to were primarily the two major resolutions on the floor this morning that, again, Tim has referred to. This year was the culmination year of the Being the Faithful Church process. It was a discernment process that we have gone through for the past 8 years regarding our position on same-sex marriages. And ultimately, we reaffirmed our previous positions and said that we want to continue to use the confession of faith from a Mennonite perspective as we have in the past. But we also acknowledge that there are congregations who have studied Scripture, and in their prayerful discernment, they have come to a different place or a different understanding of what it means to be same-sex oriented. And we want to create space for those congregations to remain in fellowship with us and test to see if this is a nudging of the Holy Spirit. And that motion passed with an 85% majority. We also had very difficult conversations about how we are going to organize in the future, organize the broader church. And the direction that was proposed was that we will continue to hold the local congregation as the foundational unit of the church. And the role of the area church, or Mennonite Church Manitoba, is going to be to support and nurture the missional endeavors of the church. And the role of the national church, or Mennonite Church Canada, is going to be to support the efforts of the area churches. So local congregations will be members of the area church, and the area churches together will own and set the agenda of the national church. And that motion passed with a 94% majority. In your church, North Kildonan Mennonite Church, you have had difficult conversations. Over the years, you've had many difficult conversations. That is what we do as a body of Christ. That is what we do as a covenant people. We have conversation. We have disagreements, and we talk about them. We listen to each other, and we pray. And when we have heard the heart and the will of God, we are brought again and again into a fellowship that is not of our own choosing, but a creation of the grace of God. I think there's a misunderstanding in the hearts and in the minds of a lot of people that unity, Christian unity, is something that we should strive for. I disagree. Christian unity is not something that you and I can attain. The only way we will ever attain Christian unity is to accept that unity is a gift from God. There is an old saying that one of my profs used to start his class often with, old proverb kind of sayings. And there's one saying that has stuck with me for a very long time. And that is, he said, when two people agree, one of them is lying. I think there's some truth to that. You and I will never agree completely on everything that it means to be Christian. If it was that simple, we would have no disagreements in the Christian church. We would have one church, not many, many denominations. But you and I know that we will never agree on everything. Agreement isn't the basis of Christian unity. Jesus' death and resurrection is the basis of our Christian unity. Our scripture passage and our theme ends with this astounding revelation in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. God says through the prophet, "No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." When we enter into a covenant relationship, we need to remember that we are entering into a relationship not of our own making, but a relationship that is a gift from God. When we enter into this covenant, we can trust God that the characteristic of our relationship will be rooted in grace. And I pray that our relationship with each other here in this body and our relationship in Manitoba and in Canada and in the world will be rooted in the grace of God. May God continue to grant you peace, faith, and love as you fellowship and work in His name. Amen.
Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all the ways I have commanded you, that it may be well with you, and I will be your God. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Obey my voice, and you will see the light. The door will open for you. Together we'll find love through our fellowship and share bread of happiness, for He is our God. Obey my voice, and you see the light, and He shall be our shepherd.
Please rise for the benediction and remain standing for the closing hymn. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Number 411, 411.